Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. I know it's been forever since I have seen my microphone. And today I have a special guest, Naomi Wheat from the Eureka Area Chamber of Commerce, who's going to talk to us about the Eureka Area Garden Photo Contest, but then she's got a few cool gardening tips. So very short, brief little episode here.
Well, we did this last year just to kind of, when the farmer's market kind of fell in my lap, there wasn't a lot of, people coming. There wasn't a lot of stuff going on, so I did this to kind of just bring more awareness to the farmers market. It's not really a fundraiser or anything, but we did have a lot of people in the community come together and donate some awesome prizes. And so
you did. What are some of the prizes?
Well, the first prize is going to be $100 gift certificate to the farmers market.
I want to win that.
Which was pretty awesome. We did that last year, and MMA is nice enough to do that for us again.
Who's MMA?
Media Management Associates. It's Mike Hill and his team. Oh. They do like Facebook advertising and stuff like that. I don't know. He's got all kinds of fun stuff going on, but a local business that is more global. than anything. So we had the hardware store. They gave us I'm not sure what they're going to be donating this year, but there was a bunch of cool gardening tools and buckets and some cool little decorations. And we had gift certificates to a lot of the nurseries. So I'm still going out trying to collect some of this stuff and see what we have. But people are excited, so I think we'll have probably a lot more prizes than last year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's tell people how to enter.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just need to email the picture. It has to be an original photo of your garden. And you can email that to me at the eurekamontana.org site or on Facebook, Eureka's Farmers Market. And then if they're in person, they can just drop it off at our office in the Eureka Town Hall. So, several different ways.
What was the email address again?
Oh, the email address is chamber01@eurekamontana.org.
So Eureka, EUREKAMONTANA.org, like spelled all the way out?
Yeah, spelled out all the way. And I'm actually looking at this flyer and it's wrong. So I have to go fix that before. Hopefully they didn't print all these out already.
Okay.
But
and the Facebook Eureka Farmers Market page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we better introduce you.
Oh, okay.
people will be like, huh, who is this Jackie's talking to? So see, as you can tell, like I said, I haven't been on my mic in a while and forgot. So, do you want to tell everybody who you are?
Yeah. Well, my name's Naomi Wheat, and I am the who am I? I have to think about.
So,
that.
Are you? You're the market coordinator this year?
Yes, I am. I am the market manager. Half of last year, and I took it over this year, and it's just a blast. I love it. couldn't imagine doing anything else with my summers now. And I work for the Chamber of Commerce. I'm the executive director there, working on helping support our small businesses and supervising the visitor center during the week. And then now I'm the facility director at the CAC. So I wear a bunch of hats, but I am learning to garden. So I grew up, my dad was like a big gardener, so I grew up doing that, but never really took the time to learn about what needed to be done. You know, like I know weeding and watering and when to plant, but it's a lot more work than I thought, you know, especially going organic and using different recipes for different pests. So I guess I would call myself a
Well, you need to start listening to the Organic Gardener podcast on a regular basis.
Oh, you know, yeah, actually, my husband and I were listening to it last night, going through some of the old podcasts, and he's like, this is amazing. I had no idea this, and I was like, I told you about it when I found out about it on our ski trip last winter, and I had looked it up then, and then just bookmarked it and never came back to it, and then... last night we got up and we were listening and we were like, oh, this is great. So yeah, we'll definitely be following you.
All right.
I'm going to podcast to come.
Get you on here as a guest, because I always tell my listeners that new gardeners make great guests because a lot of the stuff is fresh to them and they're going through a lot of the problems that some of the older, more experienced gardeners have long forgotten about because they've taken that out.
Yeah.
They've dealt with those problems. So, I know. It has just surprised me at how amazing this podcast turned out. I had no idea. And it is all because of my guests. They are just, I love how much we've all learned a ton, and just so much information they've shared with everybody. So, and you know, we're all trying to save the planet a little bit more by going the organic way and using earth-friendly methods and trying to combat those weeds without spraying the weed killer and pesticides that some people just, you know, automatically reach for, because a lot of times they don't know that there's other options out there, or you know, they have that impression that organic gardening is more work, which I don't know that I agree with
in the long run.
I think it's just a matter of like getting into that. I don't know, because it's the only way I've ever done it. And to be honest, my husband does 90% of the work and he makes it look really easy. And it's so funny, I posted these pictures on Facebook the other day and somebody was like, you must do a lot of weeding before you take these pictures. And I laughed because, for one thing, I could see a bunch of weeds. So I knew he had not done, because if Mike had gone through, there would not be a weed anywhere.
Yeah.
And since there were some, I could tell he hadn't gone through. But I think one of the keys that he is he goes through his dirt with like a fine tooth comb before he ever plants anything and make sure there's no crabgrass, there's no quackgrass, because we get a lot. That's our biggest one is the quackgrass.
Yeah, I'm finding in our flower beds now.
Then he just mulches a lot is a big one. He'll put a lot of straw down once he gets, you know, he goes through like one or two times in the beginning and gets those weeds out of there. And then he'll lay a big thick layer of mulch, which helps not only reduce the amount of watering you have to do because it holds that water in there, but it really keeps the weeds down. And he just, I don't know, he doesn't have a big weeding problem like most people do, but he might just keep on top of it too.
Yeah, I think our biggest mistake was before planting. Yeah. Like, we're in a rental and we went in there and we dug it all out and tried really hard to get all the weeds out, but then waited a couple days. And somebody's knocking on the door. Hold on 1 second, Jackie?
Of course. Yes. Sorry. No worries. I usually tell everybody it's really easy to put me on hold.
We didn't pick all those weeds out, and they just we had talked about different alternatives, like putting plastic over it and letting it like bake the ground.
He does that in the beginning too, before he plants a lot.
Yeah, we bought a bunch of, I mean, we didn't buy them, but we got a bunch of wood chips and straw to put down, and we just never got to it, I guess. And now it's almost too late, you know. We're like eating out of the garden, and we're just, it's so overwhelming. Weeds. It's just all weeds, yeah. So, and a couple of vegetables. Yeah. But it's been a learning process, because the first year, it was the deer. We built a fence that was not good enough, and we have a huge ground squirrel and mole. What are they called? Gopher.
Groundhogs. No.
They're pocket gophers. Pocket gophers and ground squirrels. Just everywhere. So
where are you guys at? Are you north? You're north of town, right?
Yeah, we're over by the, we're right by the border. Like you could throw a rock over it. So we're in a big field that, you know, the house that we moved into, nobody'd been there for 4 years. So it's a huge population of field mice and gophers that, once again, we're taking like a natural approach because we don't want to poison them. You know, because
so what are you doing? Because somebody in my Facebook group just asked me about that the other day. She said she's been in Idaho and gardening for 20 years, and 2 or 3 years ago the field mice came in, and she's so frustrated. She said she didn't even plant a garden this year. So what are you doing for the?
Well, we're trying everything. So we read that noise. You know what I think is working the best, and I can't even say that it's this for sure, but I took wine bottles and buried them probably about a foot around the entire garden, every couple feet or so, with the neck sticking out. And they said that the wind blowing through it would create a sound under the ground that would scare, that they don't like. They don't like noises or smells. So
we got most of that. Awesome. Okay. I was like, oh no, this great tip she's saying for my listeners. And then I was missing it, but it did get it.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Most of it anyway. Sorry, listeners. I guess it didn't quite get all that. So what Naomi said was that she put wine bottles in the ground, but then they filled up with water. So she put like sticks with tin cans and made like these little umbrellas over them so they wouldn't catch the water, and then the tin cans make more noise. So the wind blows through the wine bottles, the tin cans are kind of rattling and keeping them dry, and so the noise seems to be scaring the pests away. So
dumping coffee grounds down the holes too, and so whenever I've done that, they have actually came in and kind of filled in the hole themselves, and I haven't seen any activity around that area. So those are the two things that seem to be helping. We didn't want to do the, everybody says that you got to do the poison to actually do it, and we just have so many natural predators. Like we have bald eagles and all kinds of owls. What are they called? Osprey. And we're just so afraid that if we poisoned anything that they'd end up eating it or something and destroy.
Oh, you know, that's a good point that people probably don't think about. My neighbor used to shoot, she would like spray like flames down in their holes or gas. She'd fill them with gas and like light them on fire and stuff. I was like, oh, I can't believe you're doing this.
A
lot of people probably don't even think that then something's gonna go and eat that animal if it's laying there that's been poisoned. And there are a ton of osprey and working at the Wilderness Club has been amazing because the views every day, I'm like, I've lived in Eureka for 25 years and I had no idea how gorgeous it is out there. I'm like every day on the way to work I Snapchat. So if you follow me on Snapchat, I take pictures of the sunrise or the sunset. It's just gorgeous. And there's like osprey nests and you're like, and it's funny, but we all share at work. We're like, check out this owl I took a picture of. Like almost everybody's got a great owl picture coming to work or leaving work. And it's just gorgeous out there. And it's just a totally different view than from where we are pushed up against the mountain here on, we're down south of town. And so it's just a different experience. I'm just so amazed that this has been here all this time and I didn't realize it. And
when we originally moved up here, we wanted to be up in the woods, way far away in a huge wooded area. And The rental we got was in the Plains, and we're like, well, yeah, Plains, I don't know, you know.
It's not- I know.
And now we're like, oh my gosh, the Plains are so beautiful.
It is, because you see so much more of the mountains. You can see into Canada and the Canadian Rockies, and you see just our mountains, the sun, and just looks so much bigger than it does seem to appear at my house. I mean, my view is beautiful. I posted a picture of our yard the other day on Facebook, and people were just like, oh my God, is that where you live? And it was so weird, because it's like basically out my bedroom. I was standing like 2 feet outside of my bedroom. So it's a view I see all the time. And it just didn't look like that amazing of a picture to me. But people on Facebook really just like, wow.
Yeah,
but I, you know, I guess I kind of just get used to it. I mean, like I say, we live at the organic oasis in the middle of, I mean, it's just, Mike's done a beautiful job here, and it is, but yeah, that view out there north of town is something else when you start driving out there every day. So that's all right. So Brenda, if you happen to be listening, who's in my Facebook group and posted that question, maybe that will be the perfect answer for you. So you dug a hole, put the wine bottle in just like normal, like it's standing up, like you would like put it on the table, right?
Yeah.
And so then the wind blows like across that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and it's a pain to mow around, but it does make some noise. We hung a bunch of wind chimes too, and so yeah, we heard noise and strong smells, so that's what we've been
and so that seems to be working. You don't have as big of a problem this year as you did last year?
Oh, last year was ridiculous. Yeah, this year we had one ground squirrel, or at least, you know, so we lost some broccoli, and it looks like it was from a ground squirrel, but no holes. And then we had one gopher hole, and that was the first time we used the coffee. And we came back, and that hole was kind of filled in. And, yeah, so then we just go out there with our coffee in the morning and dump it in every little hole we can find. And, yeah, they seem to be moving kind of farther and farther away, which is promising.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what about, like, coffee ground? I wonder if that would work if you just dump, like, coffee grounds around the edge of the tube, besides just, like, you're pouring, like, actual coffee?
Oh, no, just the coffee grounds.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, now we're drinking the coffee. My husband would be so mad if I dumped out good coffee.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, the leftover pot or something at the end of the day, or I don't know. We always have coffee.
Well, we do a French press, so we have the grounds, and I put a little water in them to make them easier to pour, and...
Nice.
Save them up. So, yeah, because we, and I think it's, we were wondering why they're not in the compost, like, ever, with all of those yummy greens and stuff. And they, I think it's because we have so much coffee grounds in there, maybe. So now that they're not in there, we've noticed that something's been dragging something out of the compost, so we're gonna have to.
So you know what Mike also suggested to Brenda in my Facebook group was guinea hens. He said he thought they were good, and I wonder if it's because they make a lot of noise. Because somebody, like when we got our sheep last spring, the lady we got our sheep from said that she uses guinea hens too, and I wish we would have got some. They're really good for patrolling for predators, and that kind of helped her keep her animal shape safe. So she has, like, I still don't know how she does it. She has so much livestock just in a place, you know. She's north of Whitefish, so it's woodsy just like us, same typical area, but she manages. I don't know, but anyway, guinea hens might be a suggestion for you too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, ideally we would like to have something like that with it. Our house is a rental and it's on the market right now. So everything that we do is kind of up for debate with our awesome landlord, so we'd have to talk about that. But we really want to have any kind of chickens that we can eat the eggs from eventually is our goal. Chickens, goats, I don't know.
Maybe some ducks. My granddaughter got ducks, and they are so cute. And they say the nice thing about ducks is that they can be loose in your garden, whereas chickens, I have been told, destroy the garden. Knock on wood. My chickens haven't done anything yet this year. And they've been loose. This is the first year. Mike and I have, like, argued for, like, 10 years about letting our chickens loose. Like, they have a huge pen. But I've always wanted to let them out because they've pretty much eaten all the grass in their pen. And I mean, we feed them a ton of scraps and things, and they are pretty well taken care of. But I don't know, being the independent girl, free spirit I am, I always want to let him out. So last year I talked him into building a gate. And of course, one night I left the gate open, and then the chickens got, the neighbor dogs got in. And so, but the chickens figured out how to get in and out of their pen, the ones that survived. So they've had free access to our garden all year this year. And so Mike was all worried that they were going to destroy the garden, but my sunflowers are growing, his watermelons are growing, his cantaloupes are growing, his cucumbers are growing, my lettuce is all growing that I planted, and they have not destroyed any of it. And that there's only really two that get out. We only have one had a baby, and then one, she just doesn't get out for some reason. She pretty much stays in her pen. So there's really only three or four of them this year, but the two main ones, but they, the rooster and the one big chicken, they walk all over, go wherever they want. They're constantly walking through where we've planted, and they just, I don't know, there's a lot of other, there's so much stuff to eat. I mean, there's tons of grass, there's tons of stuff growing, there's tons of things that came back from life from last year, and they just, I don't know, knock on wood, like I said, nothing,
so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good this summer. Probably tell me now if they go eat his peppers or something.
Ian's chickens are free range, and I'm always just impressed that they have free range of the yard and anywhere they
and the garden go. Too, because people have always told me, like, you can't have chickens in your garden.
Yeah, and I don't think I've never heard him complain about it. I know that they just go right back into their coop at the end of the day.
I was always like, well, they'll go back in their house, because Mike was always like, you can't let them out, a predator will get them. But I was like, what, they go in at night? But you got to make sure they're locked in.
Yeah. So. They're like bears and all kinds of stuff out these days. Summertime.
Yep. So, well, anyway, thank you for sharing with us today, Naomi. And one of these days we'll have to schedule a full interview. And I will try to get this posted ASAP so people can enter. By the way, folks, we are here talking about the Eureka Garden Photo Contest. So it is kind of a local Montana thing. I guess that's it. So if you want to enter the Eureka Garden Photo Contest and you have a garden here in Eureka, you know, shoot Naomi an email to, what was it again? Chamber01?
At eurekamontana.org.
And then, or you can hit her up on Facebook on the Eureka Farmers Market Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there one other thing inside?
Bring it into the town hall. Yep.
To the town hall. So then was that, or to the historical village?
Oh, we actually just finished moving into the town hall. We're taking that other office there. And so we moved the visitor center over, and we're operating out of there as of last week. So.
And is that the brand new town hall across from the town pump?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I've been wanting to come in there and check it out. So.
Oh, yeah. Stop in and say hi anytime.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing with us today.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really want to get the word out on this photography contest.
And what's the deadline?
We just would like to have the pictures in by August 1st.
Okay.
And that'll give some of our judges just a little time to convene and go over everything.
And is there anything like special you're looking for? Like a picture of like the whole garden as a whole, or like just a vegetable, or what won last year?
Well, last year we actually had somebody's flowers win. It was kind of an overlooking of her flower garden, but you could see the vegetables in the back, but just the way it was just breathtaking. But we didn't really set up a criteria. We love I'm not judging, but they loved the like creativity. Like we had some really kind of funky stuff of like just one squash and that almost won. But just however you want to show your garden and your creativity, and there's really no criteria. The sky's the limit. We had a lot of cute little kids eating raspberries, fresh produce, hose designs. Like the sky's the limit, really. I think anything your creative mind can come up with is just awesome. We love it.
Cool. Well, thanks, Naomi. Have a great day.
Okay, awesome, Jackie. It was nice talking to you. I hope to run again soon.
All right. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Now let's get growing.